part of a leader, what it means to be a leader, the foundational truths in that is being a servant, being humbled. Earlier today, we talked about the hands of a leader, and that's acting out as a leader, being a leader in our homes, a leader in our life, and then leading in our community. The third session is I want to talk about the head of a leader, the head of a leader. And the head of a leader in the mind and the thought is one who is guided. And the head of a leader is guided, but we're guided by, we ought to be guided by the Word of God and seeing the importance to the Word of God to encourage us to base our decisions on God's truth and not on worldly opinions, but to have a head knowledge as a leader. And so to be a leader, you got to know which direction to go and to lead in. And in that, you've got to have a knowledge of where to go. You've got to have a direction. You've got to have instruction on where you're to lead and what direction you are to go. And that's the importance of the head of a leader. The head of a leader is to have that direction, is to have that decision about them as they choose, as they go forward, in what direction they're supposed to go forward. A person who is a leader that doesn't know what they believe or doesn't know what direction they're going or how they're going to get there, all they're going to lead in is total chaos and confusion. You and I, if we are to be the leaders in the church, if we are to be the leaders in our home, if we're to be the leaders that God has called us to be in our community, we better know what we're leading. We better know what it is and the direction that we're going in, why we're going in that direction, why we see the importance of leading our home and doing these things. And the only way that you and I are going to be able to know that, gentlemen, let me remind you, is this right here. This book right here is the only thing that you and I ought to base, spiritually speaking, how we ought to lead is according to the Word of God. Again, let me remind you that the Word of God is not outdated. The Word of God is not an old-fashioned book. As a matter of fact, there is no book in the world today that is as updated as the Word of God is. Not only has it told us, predicted the past history to perfection, but it has also told us what's going to happen in the future. You and I, the great thing about the Word of God is this. The Word of God tells you and I how to live. The Word of God tells you and I about the future. The Word of God has every answer in it to every question of life. You and I just have to be able to dig into the Word of God and read it and study it and find it out. That's why the Bible tells us in Timothy, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God who needeth not be ashamed, listen to me, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And that being the Word of God. The only way, now have me understand, there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. All right? How many of you hated school? Right here, I'll hold my hand up for anybody. I hated studying, didn't like anything about studying whatsoever. I took every shortcut I could to cheat. I had no shame in my game. I would cheat, I would lie, do whatever. I was lost at the time, mind you, but I had no problem doing that. I did not want to study. Why? It wasn't that I had a learning disability. You know the reason I didn't want to study? This is amazing. And probably you probably have the same description. I was lazy. I was lazy. That's just the bottom line. I didn't want to take time to get in that book. I'd rather be outside playing with my buddies, hanging out with my friends, doing something else, watching TV, playing video games. I did not want to study. And in studying and losing that, I had a general knowledge of things, but I did not have an in-depth in several areas of my schooling growing up. I knew just enough. How many of you here knew just enough to get your diploma? All right? That was me. 150 in my class. I was probably 149th. All right? I did just enough. That's all I wanted. I didn't want any more. I wanted just enough to get me graduated where I didn't have to go back to that place. That's all I wanted. But there's something different about the Bible. I can't put the Bible down. I love this book. Why? Because of it tells me of my God and by my Jesus. And gentlemen, let me remind you something this morning. You and I cannot lead, listen to me, without this right here. You and I have got to be able to know your family's dependent upon you, your wife's dependent upon you. Have me understand that in the home, there has to be rules set up. There has to be guidelines set up. And you being the head of your home, guess what? You have an awesome responsibility to set those guidelines, to set those parameters up, so to say. But as a leader of the home, hopefully you're using this and you're not using the wisdom of the world in this. You're getting into the Word of God to be able to teach. Now, here's the great thing is this. Have you understand this? You can't teach something that you don't know. You ever understand that? Isn't it amazing? Just the very simple truth of that. You and I cannot teach something that we do not know. You and I cannot teach our children, our grandchildren, if we don't know the Word of God. You and I cannot teach our wives the Word of God if we do not know it ourselves. You do not get to know the Word of God. Listen to me. You don't get to know the Word of God by reading the Psalm of the day, by reading a chapter of the day of the Bible. You say, well, Pastor, listen to what I'm about to say. There's a reason God put into the Bible the great truth. Study. To show yourself approved. What does that mean? To show yourself worthy to be able, what? To not just live, but to teach the Word of God. How many of you in here have a little boy or girl sitting at home right now that gets to call you daddy? You know what that little boy and girl hopes? They hope that their daddy can study the Word of God so that he can teach them the truths of the Word of God. How many of us have a wife sitting at home? You know what your wife wants from you and I? Hopefully that we are studying the Word of God so that we can help them, so that we can encourage them, so we can come alongside of them and be able to share with them the great truths. You say, but Pastor, who teaches me? I'm glad you asked. If you say, and I'm going to tell you who teaches you, the Holy Spirit. I tell people this all the time. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, not only did you receive the great wonderful gift of salvation, but you also received the great earnest of our salvation, that being the Holy Spirit that was with us and is with us from the point we're saved to the point of either we taste physical death or the rapture occurs. He's always with us. I tell people this all the time. I will never open the Word of God without praying beforehand and asking the Holy Spirit to help me rightly divide the Word of truth. You say, Pastor, are you scared of things? There's some things I'm scared of. I don't like snakes. I'm not a big fan of rats and mice either. But I'm going to tell you the one thing that scares me worse than anything else is me getting up here in this pulpit, in God's pulpit, and preaching God's Word wrong. That's a fear that I have, a real fear that I have. Not that you call me out on, I'm going to tell you why I have a real fear that I don't want to teach the Word of God wrong, because there's going to be a day that I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account for every sermon I gave in His pulpit and how I preached it. Let me share something with you. With that same fear that I approach that with when I stand and preach the Word of God ought to be the same fear that you and I study with on a daily basis. God, I want to know You more. Remember this, whether you're married or not married, you remember the girl, remember your wife, when you were courting her and you wanted her to be your wife and you were dating, you ever remember, now this has been a ways back, all right, you ever remember when she would write you a note? And she put the hearts on it, and she'd maybe spray it with perfume or whatever it is. And you ever, how many of you have just read it one time? Isn't it funny? You're like, man, I can't wait to read that again. Oh, my goodness gracious. She thinks I'm handsome. Oh, man, that's, she thinks I am Hercules and Superman all wrapped up together into one. This is amazing. You know what you do? You take that love letter and you read it again and again and again. And you know what you do with that love letter? Sometimes you would put it in your wallet. Sometimes you would have it in your car. But you would have it somewhere within your possession to where you could open up and say, oh my goodness. Man, she does think I'm Tarzan. This is amazing stuff. Let me share something with you folks. I love my wife and the letters she gives to me. I enjoy reading them. The text she sends to me, I enjoy reading them. But nothing compares to the greatest love letter I've ever had given to me. A love letter that I read and I try to read on a daily basis several times because I can't get over the fact, very simply, that God loves me. Can't get over it. And the great thing is this, I don't want to get over it. I don't want to get over it. Gentlemen, what our families, what our churches need is for you and I to cherish this right here. I understand, old-fashioned, that's fine if you want to call me that, and I'm not bashing this because I do it too. You say, Pastor, is there anything wrong with using my telephone, my cell phone for my Bible? No, I do it sometimes. But I'm going to be truthful with you. There's just nothing as good as being able to carry the Word of God with you. You don't know why? Because I can read the Word of God and I don't ever have to wait for ads. I can read the Word of God and I don't have to worry about an incoming call. I can read the Word of God and I don't have to worry about a text message coming up that I want to take. I love this Bible. Why? Because this Bible right here, when you and I stop to think about it, you go back and you read the history. You go back and see what it costs for you and I to have this Bible in our hand, in our possession today. Many, and I mean many, martyrs of men and women who have died horrible deaths so that you and I could hold this right here. Many men and women have laid down their lives so that this book would keep being published so you and I can have it. This is not just some book that needs to be sitting on a bookshelf that we pull off on Sunday morning to take to church with us. This doesn't need to be a book that sits upon the corner of your desk that you just pick it up one time a week. This ought to be a book that you love so much that you and I cannot wait. As a matter of fact, this book ought to be the first thing you and I look for in the morning when we wake up. Before you open that phone to see who's called, the text messages, Facebook, we ought to be diving into the Word of God, praying and asking the Holy Spirit, enlighten me, help me to understand the Scriptures. Help me to understand what it is that I'm reading today. Help me to make it applicable to my life today. Help me to memorize the great Word of God and the Scriptures given to me. See, the head of a leader, if you and I are going to lead, we can't lead if we don't know what we're leading, which is this right here. We won't know. You and I have got to understand the value of the Word of God to us, to encourage us. The first thing I want you to see is in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. The head of a leader is one, listen to me, that studies and meditates on the Word of God. A true leader to lead like Christ is one, listen, who studies and meditates on the Word. Can I show you how important the Word of God is? Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil on three different occasions? All three times Satan approached Jesus. That's how brass and how bold he is. He approached our Savior, and all three times he tempted Jesus. What did Jesus do all three times that he was tempted? He didn't quote what was happening in the world that day. You know what he quoted? Scripture. And you know what the devil had to do when Jesus quoted Scripture to him? The devil had to flee. You want to know why? Mine and your wisdom does not scare the devil. Mine and your financial status does not scare the devil. Mine and your social status does not scare the devil. I'm going to tell you what scares the devil, folks. This right here. The sword is what scares the devil. It's important that you and I, as a believer, if we're going to be the leaders, the man of God He's called us to be, that we learn to meditate and study on the Word of God. Mark Bible is the foundation of our daily choice. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. I want you to see what Joshua says. Again, he's a hero of the faith of mine, is Joshua. Joshua 1:8, listen to what he says to the children of Israel. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart or cease out of my mouth. You know what Joshua said? Joshua said, "I will never quit talking about the Bible. I will talk about the Scriptures. I will share the Scriptures. I look forward to sharing with my brothers in Christ what I read this morning in the Word of God. I look forward to when I see my brothers in Christ going through something that I can share with them, and I can encourage and exhort them because of a verse that I read this morning that God showed me that I want to be a blessing to them in." Joshua said this. He said, listen to me. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart or cease out of my mouth, but that thou shalt meditate." That word meditate means to study or to ponder therein. How often? Day and what? Night. You know what Joshua said? Joshua said, you and I ought to be in the Word of God every day and every night. In the morning and the evening. You know what? There's no greater way. How many understand this? That usually when you start your day off with the Lord in prayer and Bible, the day is usually a pretty good day. How many of you as a believer in Jesus Christ have gone into your day without praying and reading your Bible and it turned out to be a pretty crummy day? Pretty hard day, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing? How should we start our day? You start your day with the Lord and the Word of God. How do you end your day at night? You ought to end your day in the Word of God with the Lord. Joshua said that. He said, day and night. So listen to what he said. He says, that thou mayest observe or to heed or to keep to do according to all that is written therein. Why? For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous or profitable or good, and thou shalt have good success. Now let me remind you, that phrase good success doesn't mean you're going to get a promotion at the job. Good success doesn't mean you're going to be a professional athlete. Good success doesn't mean you're going to get a raise. Understand what he says there. That phrase good success means this, understanding and wisdom. We fail as leaders if we get our understanding and wisdom from CNN and Fox News. If you and I are getting our wisdom and our understanding and our knowledge from the world, from newspapers, from magazines, from the internet, then you and I are falling as being leaders. You know where you and I ought to get our understanding and our wisdom, our knowledge from? The Word of God. That's where we ought to be day and night, every single day. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night and Sunday night. Every day and every morning, or every morning and every night, to be in the Word of God. You say, Pastor, how much should I read? That's between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. You open that book and begin to read until God says stop. You say, well, all I've read is two verses. Let me share something with you. Sometimes some of my best days were the days where all I got to read was two verses. I had the intentions of reading the whole chapter, but I got into two verses and they got so good and the Holy Spirit began to show me things, I couldn't go any further because I had a problem just taking in just those two verses and just the goodness and the truth of those. You know what we need is in our churches, in our homes, we need men to be the men of God and be the leaders we're supposed to be. And the way you and I lead is by the head of a leader and the knowledge and the understanding of where he gets that from. And where we get that from is through the meditation and through the studying of the Word of God. For instance, if I was to ask you this, could you tell me the lineup of the Vegas Knights hockey team? How many players play hockey, Brother Rick? I know you're a hockey fan. Yeah, at that time. How many are on the ice at that time? Six. Could you give me the six players who start for the Vegas Knights? Oh, Pastor, I can do that. Now, could you quote me six verses without opening the Bible? So let me share something with you. We understand what we enjoy, we pour into, and we see. We see when we fail to lead because other things can become way more important to us than the Word of God becomes to us. You say, Pastor, here's what's funny. I've heard people say, Pastor, I just have a real problem memorizing the Scriptures. I said, really? But you and me, I can memorize a TV guide. We can memorize a menu. We can memorize a lot of things. You know what that a lot of times that boils down to is just being an excuse. I don't want to study. I don't want to meditate. I don't want to spend time in the Word of God. If you and I are going to be the men of God that He's called us to be and be the leaders that we're supposed to be and to be able to lead like Christ, we got to have the head of a leader. And what is that? It's a knowledge and an understanding of who God is and what Jesus and what the Word of God teaches us. Why? Because we can't lead if we don't know. If we don't have an understanding and a knowledge, then you and I can't lead our wives. We can't lead our children, our grandchildren. We can't be the leaders in the church God has called us to be if we don't have an understanding to the Word of God. And so it's not only meditating upon the Word, but the next thing is this, the importance of the head of a leader being guided by the Word is that you can lead with conviction. You can lead with conviction. I say this, what we need in churches, we'll start with churches. What we need in churches is this. We don't need polished preachers in the pulpit. We don't need preachers in the pulpit who can wax eloquent with their speech and their language. We don't need preachers in pulpits that can impress us with their knowledge, with their dress, with their social status. What we need in the pulpits in our churches is we need preachers that were preaching with the power that's given to them through the Word of God. That's what we need. What we need in homes are daddies and husbands that are leading with the power of God and that have the head of a leader and understand the Word of God so that they can correctly, listen to me, lead their family. The Bible tells you how you and I ought to love our wives, how we ought to treat our children. The Bible tells us these things. You and I ought to be able to lead with a conviction. Dwight D. Eisenhower, the great general, said this. He did an illustration one day in front of his troops and he laid out a piece of rope on the ground. And he laid that piece of rope on the ground and he went to the back end of that piece of rope and he began to push the back end and all that rope did was begin to bunch up and it went all different directions. He straightened the rope back out and Dwight D. Eisenhower went and he grabbed the front of the rope and he began to pull it and it was amazing that the rope was in line and followed exactly where the leader was leading it. You know what he said? He said this, what we need are we need leaders who will lead with conviction and quit leading from the back and be willing to stand up for the truth of what they believe in and not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of doing the things that are right. That's what we need. We don't need men to be leaders pushing from behind, because all we're doing in that is just a big mess and a big bunch. What we need is we need some men that will lead their homes and lead our church with a conviction, and to lead from the front and be able to say, I will stand for those things that are right. I will stand for the truth of the Word of God. I will stand for my family. I will stand for the sanctity of life. I will stand that marriage is between one man and one woman. I will stand upon the truth of the Word of God and will not apologize for it. I will fight for my family. I will fight for the truth of the Word of God, and I'll be that leader, and I will lead from the front and not lead from the back. We need to have some leaders that will lead with conviction, but you and I can't lead with conviction if we don't know what sin is. And the Bible teaches you and I what sin is. And let me share something with you. If God called it a sin in the Bible, I don't care what society says. It's still a sin today. You can put whatever leader you want to put into office, and they can stand on whatever platform they want to stand on. But what we need are not political figures standing on their platform. We need men of God to be the leaders and to lead like Christ and to stand upon the convictions and the truths of the Word of God. Amen. And to lead and not be apologetic. Not hold your head down to the ground in shame, but stand with the boldness of a railroad tie and be able to say, you're not going to come in. I'm not raising dogs in my house. I'm raising children in my house. I'm going to stand upon the truth of what a real marriage is. One man and one woman for a lifetime. And that's what I'm going to stand on. Amen. We don't need men to be quiet. We need men to stand up and be the leaders. It's about time we regain back the role that God has given to us. And too many times we've let the women take a charge, and we've let women stand up, and we've let our wives, and we've let women try to lead. And folks, listen to me. God didn't equip them to lead. He equipped you and I to lead and to lead them. What you got to do is you better understand how to lead with conviction, to have the head of a leader. Because if you and I don't know what we believe, we can't lead with that conviction. We can't stand upon what the truth of the Word of God is. I want you to look at 2 Timothy with me, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 2. Paul writing to Timothy. Paul writing to this young man, his son in the faith. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Listen to what he tells Timothy. Preach the word. Proclaim and publish. You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, Timothy, don't you dare stand in that pulpit and preach your beliefs. Don't you dare stand in that pulpit and preach social status and what the world's cultures are. He said, you stand, young man, and you preach and proclaim the word of God. He said, that's what you preach, is thus saith the Lord, and you stand upon that with the convictions that what God says you're going to do. He said, you preach the word, young man, and then listen to what he says to him. He said, don't just preach a word. He says, be instant in season. You know what he says there? That word, be instant, means this: be present, be ready, and stand in season or an opportunity. You know what he told Timothy? And he said, young man, you stand. If there's 199 flee, he said, you be that one young man that you stand your ground and you stand upon the truth of the Word of God. But you and I can't stand on what we don't know. Here's old Paul, that old man, blessed man of God. That old man, there's no telling what he had to look like physically from all that he suffered through. And he said, as he's getting to the end of his life, as he presses on to Timothy, the young man who's going to take the torch from Paul, and he says, young man, he said, you preach the Word of God. He said, don't you stop proclaiming the Word of God and publishing the truth of the Word of God. He said, you be instant in season. He said, you stand at every opportunity. You be there. You be present. And you stand against sin. And God will fight with you and for you through that. Then he continues on. He says this: be instant in season and out of season, or at every opportunity. Then look what he tells him. Reprove. Or to tell of a fault, or to admonish. You know what? As a pastor, I have an awesome responsibility to do, is to tell you when you're doing wrong. to tell me when I'm doing wrong. Listen to me, according to what the Word of God says. Not according to what I believe, but according to what the Word of God says. We are to what? To reprove. We're to admonish. We're to rebuke. What's that word rebuke? It means to forbid or to instruct. To come along and say, hey, you shouldn't do that. Why? Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God tells us this. To exhort, what does that mean? To console, to give comfort with all long-suffering or patience and with doctrine or instruction or truth. Understanding this, the head of a leader is guided by the Word of God. You and I have got to understand that as we come through, that we've got to be able to lead with a conviction. We need men to stand, and listen to me, I'm not talking about standing and being mean. I'm not talking about standing and being hateful, because there are churches that do that, unfortunately. That they stand and pastor, boy, they'll be hateful and they'll be mean as they pray. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you stand with a conviction to the truth of what the Word of God says, and you stand upon that truth and you say this, we are not going to change. We're going to stand according to what the Bible says. The Bible calls it a sin. It's a sin. The doctrine says that salvation is eternal through the faith in Christ. That's what we're going to say. We're going to believe these things. Why? Because the Bible tells us these things. I'd be able to lead with a conviction. Then lastly, not just meditating or studying the Word and leading with conviction. The head of a lead needs to be guided by the Word. A matter of thinking about this, it's the fear of God versus the fear of man. It's the fear of God versus the fear of man. How many understand this? The more chances than not, we are fearful of things we can see and not as fearful of things we cannot see. See, we can be fearful of man because we see man. I don't want to get up and say something because that'd be embarrassing. Somebody might say something, somebody might see me. But we're not as fearful as God to God because we can't see Him physically. We need to ask ourselves, if we are to be a true leader, and we're to lead with the head and be guided by the Word, we can't have a fear of man over a fear of God. We must get back to the place that we as Christians fear the reverence and the holiness of who our God is, and not fearing the things of this world. I get so tired of believers coming in. Woe is me. Did you see the news? Did you hear this? Did you see what the leaders are doing here? Did you see what's happening in this country? Did you see what's happening over here in this nation? Now, let me share something with you, folks. You wouldn't have to worry about it if you got into the Word of God. And you meditate and study upon the Word of God, you see this. Yes, things are going to get worse in our world until the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. But listen to me, if you're truly saved, read the back of the book, we win. There's no need to walk around molly grubbing all the time. There's no need to walk around with a frown on our face and a disquieted soul within us because we're worried about what's going on, but standing on the truth. You ever stop and thought about this? If a lost person saw you and they saw your demeanor and they heard your conversation, would they want your Jesus? If they saw you walking around all the time, oh, I don't know what's going to happen here. And every time they see you, are you kidding me right now? This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us what? Rejoice. That means to be cheerful. It means to be happy. It means to be glad. I told you this. You know what you ought to do? Man, make a gun with your hand. Turn it this way. Stick it right here and shove it up where it'll do that to you and make you smile. All the time. Why? Because we're saved. Why? Because we ought to fear God over fear of man. It's time that we be the men of God. It's time. Hey, listen to me. I love the Avenger movies. I love the superhero movies when it seems like all the evil is overcoming. And then all of a sudden, you see Superman coming in. And you know everything's going to be okay. And boy, everybody's cheering. Listen to me. You know what? Yes, we got evil in this world. Yes, this world is wicked. The Bible tells us this. But what you and I need to do is we need to be the Superman God's called us to be. And understand, it's not in our strength. It's not in my might, but it's in the power of my Lord that I'm standing here today to be that David that will go into the valley of Elah and say, you can stand up on the mountainside. I'll go fight that devil. I'll go fight that giant. If everybody else is afraid, I'll go take care of him. Yeah. Come on, man. It's time. Quit making excuses. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. And let's stand up and be who God called us to be. Amen. Praise Him for that. Go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 25. Proverbs 29, verse 25, the Bible says this. The fear or the anxiety of man, it brings a snare and it brings a trap. I understand. I understand anxiety and depression are real things that people deal with. I don't dare try to sell that short. I understand that's a real realization in some people's lives. But the Bible tells us this, the fear of man, having that anxiety, fear of man's leadership and the things that man does will bring that anxiety to us. And it's a trap, a snare. But look at the end of verse 25. This is a promise, guys. But whoso putteth his trust or his confidence in who? Not in man. In Jehovah. That is the self-existent, the eternal one. Puts their trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe, defended, and exalted. They that put their trust in the Lord. You and I have no reason to fear man. You want to know why? Because I understand that in my life, on the daily, I want to fear my God. When I fear my God, the Bible very clearly teaches me here that if I put my trust and my confidence in Him and who He is, I will be okay. I'm going to be safe. But I have to trust Him. You see, the head of a leader needs to be guided by the Word of God. Meditating, studying on the Word, leading with a conviction, and having a fear of God over a fear of man. Go with me, if you would, lastly, into the Gospel of John, chapter number 13, verses number 34 and 35. Jesus says something here. You say, Pastor, if I'm to stand on my conviction, be this, well, I'd have to do it and be mean. No, you don't have to be mean. We can stand for the truth of the Word of God and still be like Christ and lead like Jesus. We don't have to be abrasive. We don't have to be rude. We don't have to feel like we have to belittle somebody. We can stand, and we can stand with a conviction. We can stand upon with a fear of God over a fear of man. Jesus says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know and understand that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. See, you and I can stand with a conviction. You and I can be the leaders of our home. We can be the leaders in the church. We can be the leaders in our community that God has called us to be, but we can do it with love. We can do it and be stern, but do it in a loving way. Stand upon the truth given to us in the Word of God. You think about this. Does mine and your decision-making process reflect God's Word in mine and your heart, or is it fear of human criticism in the decisions that we make? Are we in our decisions, again, are we processing, reflecting God's Word, or are we basing our decisions on the fear of human criticism and what people may think? And then, to ask yourself this question, are you and I in the Word consistently enough? Are you in the Word consistently enough to be able to lead your family correctly? Are you in the Word of God consistently enough to where you can properly, with an understanding, be able to lead your family? Or you say, Pastor, I don't have the knowledge of the Word like I need to. I was talking last night, and I told a gentleman last night is this. You and I can't change the past, we can't change yesterday. But I'm going to tell you how gracious of a God we serve is that He gives us a brand new day. That's God's favor to you and I, is this. You say, Pastor, I've failed maybe as a husband. I've failed maybe as a dad. I've failed maybe as an employer. I've failed as a church member. Listen, that's in the past. Can't change that. The only thing I can change now, Brother Tony, is the very next step I take. To be able to say, God, with Your forgiveness and Your mercy and Your grace and Your power, from this point on, I want to be that man of God, and I want to lead like my Jesus. And I want to be the man that you want me to be and who you've called me to be. And it won't be an easy road, fellas, I'm telling you. But with God, that's where you get Philippians 4:13. I've told our church, for those of you who are guests, Philippians 4:13 doesn't make you a better basketball player. It does not make you a better football player. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What it's saying is this, He can enable you and I to be the leaders that He has called us to be. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens or enables me to be the man of God, to lead like Christ, to lead my family, to lead in my church, and to lead in my community. Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You again for this time that we've had in Your Word. As we come up on our last session here in just a few moments, I pray, Father God, that You're pleased with all that's been sung and said. Lord, I pray that You work in the hearts and lives of these men today. Lord, if there's one that may not know You, Christ as Savior, I pray You would draw them to that wonderful gift of salvation. Work through our hearts as we go into this last session, as we close out this men's conference for 2026. Lord, and I pray that You would work in a mighty, mighty way. Be with the rest of this day and our time together. We love You. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.